Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association National Podcast. I'm your podcast host, Dr. Kim Lejeune. I'd like to begin our podcast by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we record this podcast and pay our respects to the elders past and present. We recognise and honour their ongoing connection to land, waters, culture and community. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people listening in today. So today we're diving into one of the most important pillars of our profession, that being education. The future of chiropractic isn't built in clinics alone. It's built in classrooms, teaching clinics, and the culture we create around training the next generation of chiropractors. The Australian Chiropractic College is positioned as a focused, profession-led education provider with campuses in both Adelaide and now in Melbourne. It was originally founded by chiropractors. It emphasises practice-ready graduates, small class sizes, hands-on clinical training, and a philosophy-driven yet contemporary approach to healthcare education. And in this conversation, it feels especially timely as we're approaching the upcoming annual Concordia Conference, which is happening in March 28th, 29th in Adelaide. This year, the powerful theme is you haven't come this far to only come this far. I think it really invites us all to reflect on where the profession is heading. So today we're speaking with the president of ACC, Dr. Patrick Sim, a good friend of mine, a great colleague, to unpack the vision behind the college, how it differentiates itself, how it ensures graduate quality, and what the future holds, not just for ACC, but for the chiropractic education more broadly. I'm really excited for today's episode, so without further ado, let's get stuck into it. But firstly, welcome, Patrick, and thank you for coming on the show. I know you're a very busy man, and I really appreciate immensely your time. Thank you.
Kim, it's great to get the opportunity. I really do enjoy these sorts of conversations. They get quite deep, but I think we can get quite clear on what it is we're trying to achieve. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, fantastic. Look, me too. Really excited for this. Okay, so let's begin. Let's start with, say, the bigger picture and the origin of it all. Now, ACC, as I said a few minutes ago, was founded by chiropractors who wanted something different in chiropractic education. What was the original vision behind the college, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us?
Well, I think it's a combination of vision, but also motivation. Mm-hmm. And they're not always the same thing. So I think once you have a clear vision, then your motivation can follow. But in this instance, I think the motivation came first. I suppose it depends how you want to cut it and how you want to look at it. But I was on the national board, which was the CAA at the time. And I think that the key motivating point was on that board around 2012, 2013, just after the advent of the Friends of Science and Medicine, because of the enormous scrutiny we were under, and particularly around the core values, the board that I was on, and I think pushed mainly by myself from memory, we decided to get rid of those core values. And I took a number of phone calls after that news was shared with the profession and membership, all of them asking, well, Patrick, what have you done? Where are those core values going to go? And, you know, I thought I was being clever and smart and prudent. I thought I knew better. And it didn't take long for me to realise I'd made a mistake, because there was nowhere in the country, that no organisation that was protecting those core values, those core tenets of what it was to be a chiropractor. And, you know, to speak of the association, this is a chiropractors association. It's not the Chiropractic Association. And this was part of the logic we maintained when we made that decision. But I then spent a fair bit of time looking at different angles as to how we could protect those core values. Those core values too were produced through a national process of engagement with all chiropractors in Australia, whether they were members of the association or not, to get a sense of how how people were thinking about chiropractic, what was important to them as chiropractors, and that's where those core values came from. Mm. So despite that nationwide consultation and all the people involved with that and the time taken to do that, it took a group of, what, 8 or 9 of us just to decide one day to put them in the bin. So trying to get it back was very, very hard. Mm. You know, we looked at all sorts of different options, special interest groups through what's now ACE and, you know, even different associations. And it wasn't until sort of one disastrous meeting I was trying to organise to put forward this idea of a philosophy association that the New Zealand College sort of stood up and said, look, the only way you're going to get control of the profession here in Australia is through control of education.
Yeah.
And so that really was the motivating factor. From there, we built a vision, and that's what's driven us from that point onwards.
Okay, that makes sense. So in terms of that then, you mentioned how you got rid of the core values. Did some of those core values, were they the founding philosophy that evolved as the college has grown? Did that stem from that, or was that completely, let's just close that chapter, let's move on into college education, chiropractic education in Australia, let's establish, re-establish some really, you know, core values from here?
No, they are the driver.
Okay.
And so strangely, they are more important to me than the college itself.
Mm.
And that can sound like a strange thing, but the college is just a mechanism,
a vehicle.
Yeah, to ensure that we can protect those core values. So we want to teach an aspect of chiropractic that sees those core values as important. And even if one of our graduates chooses not to practice like I might practice, that's fine. But I want to give them the chance to be exposed to it and then to critically think their way through what those core values mean.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about a philosophy, you know, the philosophy is not a dogma. Brett Hill put me on this really good paper by a guy called Rudisill that sort of raise this question, you know, is philosophy a noun or is it a verb? And I think too often in chiropractic, you know, we don't think of it necessarily in these terms, but when we talk about philosophy, we talk about the noun of it,
yeah,
meaning
correct.
If you can quote the 33 principles
word
for word and you can sort of make them apply to everything, then you're doing philosophy. But that is not philosophy.
Yeah.
Philosophy is critical thought. It's rational. It's rigorous. It's insightful. And when we do philosophy at ACC, that's the approach we take.
I think it's so important. I think one of the things that I've noticed in education, not just in chiropractic, across the board, is the critical thinking aspect. Because of the advent of AI and so many more tools that the students and kids can use, critical thinking starts to become obsolete. So I love the fact that you're encouraging that critical thinking. And that comes from obviously having that aspect of philosophy, being able to question everything, you know, which is fantastic. I love that.
That's what philosophy is. And I might upset some people by saying this, but the way that we as chiropractors think about philosophy is not philosophical.
Yeah.
You know, there's a huge irony there too. So, for instance, I'm on the record for making a presentation at the Philosophy Symposium. I asked the question, do we need innate intelligence? Because I don't think we do. I think it confuses things.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I won't defend the term, but it's too easy for someone to use that term and not really understand what they're saying because we're not philosophical about it. We're not critical with how we delve into these things. And so, again, I think this is what the profession needs. It's about doing the philosophy. It's about understanding philosophy as a verb, not just quotations.
Noun. Yeah. I see your point. Yeah, good point. Okay, so let's keep moving in terms of, I really want to talk about the college itself now too. We've got campuses in Adelaide, which was established obviously previously. That's where it all started. And now in Melbourne, okay. What does the expansion signal about the demand for chiropractic education in Australia for those who may not be in the, you know, inner sanctum of it all?
Well, it's really interesting. So I'm a footy coach and, you know, the Melbourne thing was a bit like, and I'm sorry to anyone out there who doesn't understand football, it's about making a move in footy where it's both a defensive move, so it stops the opposition doing something, but it's also an aggressive offensive move, so it also gives you something. And at the time, we were looking at, well, you know, RFIT is on its pro, in the way of, is on the way to teach itself out. Yep. It's not going to be accepting new students. Mm-hmm. Melbourne is Australia's largest and fastest growing city, depending mm-hmm. on where you draw the parameters. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be no chiropractic offering there. So do we look at that as an option? And to cover off the costs of that sort of expansion, are we more likely to cover the costs across those two campuses as opposed to just focusing on one campus where we're in Adelaide alone? Mm-hmm. And so the board had to wrestle with all of those sorts of things before we made the decision. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the numbers sort of stacked up to say, well, actually, it's not duplicating the cost across both institutions. It's actually cheaper to run two because it's not a complete replication. So we decided to embark into Melbourne, and it's been great. It's been great. So for us, it's you asked about the demand of chiropractic.
Yeah.
When you have the chance to have a look at, say, the CBA data or ARPA data about the number of chiropractors, that mm-hmm. is going up. Mm-hmm. But you look at the number of students, and that's been declining for the last few years. I hold concerns about where we're going as a profession in terms of our numbers. And I know ACC really considers these sorts of things. So we feel we have a professional responsibility to be tracking that sort of data. Mm. And again, it's not about producing necessarily more chiropractors. It's about producing chiropractors of quality who can make the biggest impact on their communities. So we don't want to be producing thousands of graduates per year. We're going to produce great graduates per year.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I love that. Love that. We're going to go into that a little bit more as well in terms of the education aspect of it. Well, let's start with that. In terms of, I know that the ACC speaks about blending chiropractic philosophy with contemporary science and clinical practice. How do you balance those elements in today's educational climate?
Well, it's interesting that they're not separate elements.
Okay, great.
I think that's the first thing. If you think about your practice, you don't do your philosophy and then come and do your science and then go and do your art and then go and do your business. It's all integrated. 100%. And so we have to be thinking from the top down about, well, what does that mean then for our students and for our graduates? Mm-hmm. So we want them to have an integrated view of things. And this is difficult. So wherever we can, we try and integrate the learning a student goes through across the program. So if, for instance, a student's doing, I don't know, pathology, mm-hmm. And they're doing radiology, and they're doing philosophy, and mm-hmm. they're doing technique, say, mm-hmm. Rather than each of those sort of subjects rolling themselves out independently, we try and make sure that the knowledge with each of them is being covered off across them. So that they're doing pathology of, I don't know, upper cervical spine, they're doing radiology of upper cervical spine, they're doing philosophy of, I don't know, hole-in-one technique or something like that, and they're then doing technique associated with adjusting the cervical spine. So that way, across the program, whilst there are these individual subjects they're learning, it's integrated throughout the week. Yeah. So we're trying to take that approach as best as we can because we know that's what practice is like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's a really important point you've made there, integrating so that the student then have to feel like, oh, I've completed that that section of my syllabus, close, end of story, let's go on to the next one. Because they almost compartmentalize all those factors and not really bringing it all together, because the person who presents to you in a everyday practice, they're not compartmentalizing things. They're saying, my back is sore, my neck is sore, it's affecting my health, my family's affected. Like, and how do you separate all that? You don't. It's the person as a whole. And I love that holistic approach, because what that does is then, if you can integrate that sort of holistic approach into the education, the student's obviously going to graduate a better person, a better chiropractor.
That's exactly right. So we've established something called the Four Realms at ACC. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the Four Realms is the philosophy, the science, the art, and the practice of chiropractic. So classically, we think about the philosophy, science, and art of all things natural, might be the quote from, say, Stevenson. Yep. But it's more than that. It's not those things independently, which I think is sometimes what that quote can sort of mean. Yep. But we need to understand that the practice of it is its own thing. Yeah. And practice is not just business. Practice is how all of those things come together. In a practice. So it's the environment in which all three of those things occur, plus the business element. Yeah. So at ACC, we have these four realms where we have people who are in charge of the philosophy unit, and they want to make sure that they are integrated with the other three, and same with the science and the art and the practice. So all of those things are integrated. That's very important. The other thing, too, is that when it comes to this thinking about educational design, and I'm no academic by a long stretch. I'm a chiropractor. I'm doing my best in terms of higher ed.
Good job.
But there are some conceptualizations that I've made to try and make sense of where we are with things like accreditation and practice and who we stand for and who we are as chiropractors. Mm-hmm. And the way I'm thinking about it right now is, if you think of, say, the requirements of CCEA, when we think of what CCEA is there to do, it's there to ensure that the graduates can meet the standards associated with the Chiropractic Board of Australia and APRA.
Mm-hmm.
And Chiropractic Board of Australia and APRA, they are there not for the betterment of the chiropractic profession. They are there for the safety of the public. They're to ensure that any healthcare provider is reaching a minimum standards to be registered to make sure that they're safe, effective, competent, and so on. And so at ACC, we've decided we're going to absolutely embrace that, and we want to be the world's best at those elements. We want to make sure we are safe. We want to make sure we are ethical. We want to make sure that we are competent. Okay, they're very, very important to us, because we understand that we are in a privileged position as healthcare providers in Australia, and so we must maintain a higher level to other healthcare providers who aren't registered. So we want to make sure that all those things that get us to the line of being APRA approved, we want to be the best in Australia.
That's fantastic.
Arguments to whether we are or not, but we want to do that. Yeah. But that doesn't define who we are as chiropractors. And I think this is the really interesting conversation. If we did all the things that CCA require of us, meaning we're very ethical and safe and whatever, it doesn't really define who you are as a chiropractor.
Nor should it.
No. And see, this is the critical thing there. So we think then of above the line of maintaining accreditation is this other element of who we are as chiropractors. So, you know, the requirement, say, in CCA isn't necessarily to regurgitate the 33 principles. I don't think that would be a requirement, nor would it be to be a great, I don't know, Gonstead adjuster or a great activator adjuster. Those things aren't as specific within the CCA standards.
Yeah.
But for us, we think they're really, really important that our graduates do know the philosophy, you know, that they can critically think, that they can do Gonstead, diversified, activated, drop piece, whatever it might be. We think they're very important to identity as chiropractors, but they exist above the line. So when you look at ACC's structure of its program, actually, if we can, over 5 years, I'm generalizing here, a university might, say, teach 4 units a semester, and over 5 years, that's 40 units of study. At ACC, we teach 54. And that's because those extra 14 that we teach is all the stuff above the line. It's the technique, it's the business, it's the philosophy, it's all the stuff that we think is really important to our identity development as a student, but also puts us on a path for critical thinking and identity development as chiropractors. So these are, again, important things about, I think, how ACC is different to other institutions.
I can see that. Yeah, that's really important. And I can speak from the fact that, obviously, being a practitioner of 30 years or so and still working in it, that those things are critically important, because I've seen young graduates come out and they may be safe, but that's all they know. They may be really good at justice, but that's all they know. And so this integration of all aspects of how a practice is run and how to be a really good chiropractor in your community, a leader in your community in that health aspect, involves all those facets. So I think that's a wonderful thing to be able to bring out a graduate that has all those qualities ready, which is what I said at the start, you know, it's practice ready. That's what I love about it.
Yeah, well, a model that might apply here might be, you know, the old Maslow's hierarchy. Now, if you think of those lower ones about, you know, biological needs, if you don't get these things, you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, you think that if someone walks into your practice and they've got something going on to them, they're about to die, that you send them off straight away, right? And so that's the stuff you really need to know. Yeah. The next level up, you know, the safety stuff, again, we want to make sure that we are cognizant of the yellow flags, we can co-manage or refer if need to, all that's important. But these other things above it, about belonging, about
uniqueness,
about self-actualization, you know, I think that is, and I'm sure all programs do that to some degree, but we are really clear about there's a lot in our program that focuses specifically on that stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, good job. Well done. I love that. I love that. Now, on a practical level, one of the things I said at the start of the show today was how AC focuses on small class sizes. That's one of the key features. Now, how does that shape culture, mentorship, and professional identity, having those types of smaller classes at ACC?
Well, as you asked that question, the analogy that comes to mind is, again, say going to the footy or a concert or something. You know, yep. you could go there by yourself and be one in a crowd of people. You can still enjoy it. You still get something out of it. Mm. But it's quite different when you go with a close group of friends and experience that, you know, at a smaller group. You enjoy that more. And I think that's a bit like ACC.
Yeah.
You know, we have smaller groups, so it's more intimate. It means that you've got closer mentorship. We try and keep the ratios lower, so there's fewer students per faculty member, and so that we have close relationships, again, with our supporters and the students, because we see it as a community. And not that they're officially colleagues, but if we don't see these students as colleagues of ours, that we're not there to make it easy for them, but we want to show them that it's worth it. Yeah. And I think that's way easier with a smaller size of people, a smaller group of people.
I think that's also really important years down the track. You know that you can lean on those you went through with. They'll understand. They know where you're thinking. They know. It's almost like a default you can come back to if you're feeling a little bit lost. You know, those guys went through with you, you know, and you know each other intimately well, that you can always come back and, you know, speak to them. And that brings on that sort of alumni effect, but that having that strong connection back to the college, to your colleagues, to the people you graduated with, I think that's a fantastic, you know, foresight, you know, future pacing, you know, so it's fantastic.
It's one of the great things about our profession too, and I'm sure it's not just chiropractors, and certainly not just ACC, but we're in the middle of orientation. With students, we did orientation in Melbourne last weekend and doing it in Adelaide this weekend. And one of the things I say to these guys, who most of them don't know each other, is they don't realise it, but they're about to form friendships which are going to be their closest.
Mm.
So, Kim, for instance, where did you meet your wife?
You know,
because you spend so much time together, you've made a choice because of value about what you think you want to do, what's special about being a chiropractor, to choose to be a chiropractic program.
Yeah.
The thing about ACC is we're very specific about what type of chiropractic we're thinking about and talking about too. So people are making a more discerning value decision when they come to ACC. So those alignments of people are even closer. And so when you start spending time with these people, these friendships build, which will probably be the best friends these people make.
Yeah, for a lifetime too.
For a lifetime.
I want to ask you more of a general question. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing chiropractic education today? Because obviously you're right in the thick of it all. And more importantly, where do you see the greatest opportunity lies with it? You know, sometimes when you have the biggest challenges are the biggest opportunities lying just beneath that, if we can see past the challenges. So, I don't know, maybe something like that. Tell me what your thoughts, because you're right in the thick of it.
Well, it's a SWOT analysis, isn't it? You know, the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
Yeah.
And often, you know, the weaknesses or the threats are certainly the opportunities and the strengths in some ways.
The flip, yeah.
But in terms of the challenge, I do think there is an issue around identity.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we? You know, how is it that we are different? I know there's a lot of work at the moment looking at graduates and their attrition rate and that sort of thing. And those graduates who are more likely to stop practice or not practice what they have learned, and this is not just chiropractors, this is a whole range of other graduates, often they'll do that because they don't know who they are. They don't know the role they play.
Mm.
So, you know, who are we as chiropractors? What is it that we do? And then the flip side of that would be, well, you know, I think it's well defined. I think a chiropractor is a chiropractor, or chiropractic at the very least, is defined as a certain thing. And so if we get really good at that, okay, doesn't matter what else you do, but if we get really good at that, then that's the thing that will be the thing to leverage and to build. That is the opportunity. Mm. Because I think we spend a lot of time wanting to be like others or to be included or to to do the same stuff as someone else because we don't want to miss out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've forgotten about what it is that we do, which is different and distinct and separate and unique. Helpful, unique, you know, beneficial to the community. It's not that we can do all the same things as another health profession. That's the red ocean thinking.
Yeah.
It's what's the blue ocean? What's the stuff that we do which no one else does?
Yeah.
What's the thing that we do that, or the way that we think that is distinct and different? That's the value that we have to the community. And I think that's, again, what we focus on at ACC.
Oh, that's great. Those students are going to be so well armed. So let's look at that now. So obviously we mentioned earlier and we've highlighted a couple of times about the graduates being pretty much practice ready from day one. How do you do that? How do you implement such? But sometimes I have found my personal experiences, if I've dealt with new graduates, and obviously you would know if you've dealt with new graduates, often they're like, literally they feel very out of their depth. So how is it that you do on a practical level, from a college perspective, how and what is it that you do that can really get them literally from day one, bang, hit the road running?
Well, what's our expectation? You know, is our expectation that we're producing employees who are going to go work for someone and therefore that's our attitude around it? Or do we have them think about, well, what is possible for you? You know, are we getting them? And this is, firstly, this is a vision thing. This is a mission thing. So that value drive is really, really important to teach. We also then, you know, for instance, in our prof unit last year, we produced this spreadsheet, which allowed them to create a business plan, and it looked at, you know, if you wanted X amount of money to come out at the end of it, then all the way down to, well, how many times, how many people do you have to see, and what sort of interval of care would that be, and therefore how long is your day? So they can start building like a very clear view of what practice looks like.
Okay.
And we can then talk about the, you know, what is the OPEX of running a practice? Yep. What are the considerations you have in taking on a lease? So if our expectation is to give that to them as part of their learning, then as they graduate, they have some sense of confidence around it. We also make sure that when we scaffold their education, that we're very clear. Right now, what you're learning are the hardcore sciences. So anything that has an ology in it, you've got to learn at ACC, because we want to be world's best when it comes to understanding the sciences of the human body.
Yeah.
And be able to do the appropriate diagnoses and referrals of those. You've got to understand that stuff really, really well.
Yeah.
But the first part of the program is that. The second part of the program is then transitioning from that stuff into making clinical decisions. So referring, recognizing pathologies, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get lost there about who you are as a chiropractor. So that means that in our final year, that's where we start shifting much more to this idea about, well, who are you as a chiropractor within this environment? That must include starting your own practice. So of the graduates that started practice last year, we had 25 graduates. Five of them have now started their own practice.
Wow.
Okay. And so that's the only, less than a year. Some of them went straight out from college to start their own practices.
Wow, that's
and I know of another three or four who are going to be doing that next year. Wow. You know, because they realize that, oh, actually, I can do this. And perhaps they weren't confident to start with. They want to get some capital behind them or get some clinical experience. But they've realized they can do it. And that's, I think, because we've given them the sense that maybe it's not that hard, that the world needs them, you know, that you can do it yourself. That doesn't mean they have to, but we want to make sure that we're not limiting their thoughts around what they can do as a graduate.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And again, the underlying constant theme that I'm hearing from you is giving them that critical thinking about, yes, you can do this, you know, and giving them that confidence to be able to see themselves as a pretty much right and ready practitioner when you walk out. That's really good. I feel like that confidence is really important at an early stage when they try and find their feet in practice.
That concept of critical thinking, I think, is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I think often critical thinking is conflated with clinical reasoning.
Good point. Very good point.
And so explain the difference, clinical reasoning is the algorithm that you would follow to come up with a diagnosis. So, you know, for instance, if someone has some low back pain, you'll ask them questions in their history and you're looking to try and find out the pathology behind why they have a low back pain. Mm-hmm. But the process you go through with that, and perhaps you end up with, say, disc injury, just for example. Mm. Or even easier, let's say it's a facet sprain. Mm. So, you know, classically somebody's got a facet problem that has some difficulty leaning backwards because they start whacking those facets together.
Yeah.
And so you can very quickly diagnose that as the pathology. But your ability to do that as a chiropractor is no different to the physiotherapist or the GP or anybody else. And so clinical reasoning is an algorithmic approach to coming up with pathologies. But it's transferable across everyone. In fact, you can do it with an AI right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, probably quicker.
And quicker, because it's algorithmic, right?
Yeah,
it's algorithmic.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas critical thinking is your ability to take in all data and make decisions based on everything. So critical thinking is this larger overarching thing. You should be able to apply critical thinking processes to your finances, to your human resource management in a practice, to your love life, you know, to, you know, what TV program you go to watch, whatever. It should be a skill set that you can teach for someone to apply in all areas of their life. One of them perhaps being clinical reasoning, of course, but also business management and all these other things. So this ability to think critically is different to just the clinical reasoning aspect, which I think is what a lot of chiropractors get taught.
Nicely put. I think that's a great way, and that's a very vital, I think that's a very vital point of distinction there, because I think that you're right, a lot of chiropractors do fall into that category of clinical reasoning. And they think that that's all that's required. But sometimes the bigger picture of the person presenting in front of you needs more than just A plus B will equal C. That clinical reasoning, you know, there's got to be more than that. The person in front of you is much more than just A plus B equals C. You know,
and so this is a philosophy then, too, isn't it?
Like, exactly,
this 100%. Is your perspective on the person you're looking at in front of them. Are they coming to you because your assumption is that they're going to have some sort of pathology that I need to find, diagnose, and then treat? Or am I seeing this person as, I'm not quite sure why they're here or what they want from me, so I'm going to see them as a person and not as a possible pathology. And that really changes then the questions I ask about my history.
Exactly.
You know, it means I can become more salutogenic if that's what this person is suggesting, or I can pick up that red flag straight away and refer them out. So this is a broader skill set than just going straight to, this person must have a pathology, I've got to find it, and then I've got to refer them out or treat it or whatever it might be.
Yeah, fantastic. We could talk for hours here, Pat, but I need to make sure that I stick to my time. I'm going to talk a little bit more about, you mentioned earlier about accreditation and standards and what have you, obviously the things that are important to CBA and APRA. ACC obviously operates under TEXA, registration and accreditation standards. How does that framework shape the curriculum and quality assurance?
Great question. I don't think many people would have heard of TEXA before.
No, ACC let's just give us a little process. Please give us a bit of a background on that first. Some people would not. I know I've spoken to you about it before, but I know that a lot of listeners may not be aware of it.
So, my guess here is that most of our listeners are chiropractors. Probably Australian chiropractors, but I'll explain a bit further. TEXA is like APRA for healthcare providers. Okay, so TEXA, yes, ACC has got its accreditation and registration through TEXA. TEXA has the power to close down any higher education provider in Australia, which meant if it was worried about the processes at, you know, University X, it could shut it down. It's the regulator for higher education. In the same sort of way that APRA, if it was concerned about a chiropractor, could come through and shut down that chiropractic practice because they have concerns about the safety aspects of that chiropractor. In the way that APRA is concerned about public safety, TEXA is concerned about student safety, student well-being. That's what they're for. Now, because ACC is private, we don't have a larger body to go through the process of having our programs accredited, so we had to make sure we went through the government so they could see us as an institution and they could make some decisions about whether or not we had the right processes, policies, personnel, structure, governance to deal with being a higher education provider and deal with the mechanisms that are required as a higher education provider. So from that perspective, we have the same standards across our institution. Okay. We then also had to make sure that our program is delivered at a consistent level to be called a bachelor, which means that any bachelor approved by TEXA is delivered at the same level around Australia. So whether it's a Bachelor of Chiropractic or a Bachelor of Nursing or a Bachelor of Architecture or whatever it might be, the educational, the learning processes, the assessment, all of that is consistent because it's a bachelor program. There's a certain leveling to that. In the same sort of way you expect that a master's a certain level or a PhD is a certain level, there's consistency. Okay. So that's what TEXA does, which means that, you know, really the standards at all universities must reflect the standards within legislation for higher education. Okay. So whilst we've gone through that, the expectation should be that university courses, whatever those courses are, should also then meet those same standards. But what it means for us is that we're the only group that has been externally registered and approved. Okay. The other programs, they have an internal mechanism within the university where that is where the quality assurance occurs. We have to go through an external body through TEXA. Now, so that's how we are different. But in the same sort of way, we embrace the idea of being primary healthcare practitioners and being, we want to be Australia's best at that. We want to make sure we can meet the TEXA standards and exceed them where we can. In the same sort of way, we would love to be able to exceed the CCA standards because it's not enough just to get there. We want to be better than ever.
Makes sense.
So it means we have a personal drive. We have an individual drive to exceed those standards. And our people are magnificent. We have experts when it comes to dealing with these standards. In the same sort of way, you'd expect that there are experts within all the programs to meet CCA standards. We have experts within ACC to ensure we can meet and exceed the TEXA standards. So it, the quality of the education you get at ACC, we like to think is above what's needed.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's, I love that whole exceeding the bare minimum. You know, if they set a certain limit, minimum standards, I love the fact that the bigger thinking allows you to think, okay, I want to go above and beyond that, so that they have no way of coming back in any way, shape, or form because you've exceeded everything much more than they ever expected. So,
and we've got to recognise too that they are there for a very good reason.
Exactly.
You know, CCA to protect the public. Why would you not want to exceed those standards?
100%.
You know, and if TEXA are here to make sure that we are a safe place for students to be, then why would you want to exceed those standards?
Yes, couldn't agree more. Fantastic. Job well done. Okay, so I want to sort of step into the future a little bit. What are the major strategic priorities, say, for the next 10 years is a bit long, but let's say the next 5 years for ACC?
Well, we want to do a good job. I think that's the first thing. And we want to know we do a good job by tracking how our graduates are going. So we care about them as people. We care about them as the result of our education. So we'll absolutely be tracking them over the next sort of 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So, you know, their success, what they find works or doesn't work, we want to bring back into the program to make that better. That has to be. And you think too, if you're an evidence-based program, you know, where's the evidence that your program works? You know, what are you doing to ensure that you can make your program better? And I think the best way to do that is by checking in with your graduates and finding out what their experience is like. I mean, that would make a whole lot of sense. So I think from that perspective, that will be one thing we do. We need to make sure that we can solidify ourselves as well. But you know, also, you know, and that's in Melbourne and in Adelaide. But you know, who knows what else is possible around the country? Are there ways that we can be more innovative in our education? Are there ways that we can streamline the processes? So, you know, for instance, you could do ACC's five-year program in 4.5 years. So you could start our first year in February. So we start next week, actually. Or you can have some more time off and then start with us in July and still have first year completed to start the bachelor next year. So, you know, how else can we be innovative like that to reduce the amount of time that someone has to study? What else can we bring in which is more pertinent to the profession that we don't know about yet? Like, how do we keep on top of the important things to chiropractors or important things to practice that we should be bringing into the education? We need to be on the cutting edge, I mean, ensuring that we can teach our graduates the developments within the profession. So we need to have a close relationship with there too. So I think these are the strategic things we should be thinking about. For me, it's about making sure we are producing chiropractors who can make a difference in the world.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. And I do think that being innovative, particularly from the outside, sometimes I'd imagine when you're working within that system that you are at the moment, it's easy to lose track of what's really happening outside in the real world on an everyday practice. And I guess being innovative to try and integrate that, if necessary, to bring that into the course, because there seems to be a shift or change in, you know, the general public and how they use chiropractic, well then that's, I love that. I love that you're always thinking, always trying to think of new ways, innovate new ways to try and better the graduates every time they graduate. So well done. That's great.
Yeah. And better the profession.
I mean, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means
a profession, can we be better?
Yeah. And what that does allows our profession to prosper and continue to grow in years to come. The one thing I want to ask is maybe sometimes what you do, the rest of our profession doesn't always know what it is that you do. And maybe today will spark a lot more of that understanding and give people a bit more understanding of what you are doing and what you're looking to achieve, particularly with the graduates. What would be the one thing that you would like the profession to understand about ACC that perhaps may not be immediately obvious from the outside in?
We are a high-quality program. Now, I don't think we are the highest quality program. We've been hugely scrutinized, firstly by the profession. Mm. And I'm so glad we've had the detractors that we've had, because they've actually made our program better. And I think anyone who took the time to have a look at the quality of our program, our assessment process, the size of our program, the structure of our program, they will have their socks blown off by the quality of it. And I have no doubt that's the case. They may disagree with some of the things we are teaching, but there's no doubting that what we're teaching is at the highest quality. Yeah. So I think that's one thing that's worth knowing. And go and find one of our graduates. Go and talk to them. You know, I know on their overseas trips they did, they had students from other programs, and not just Australian programs, but other programs from around the world, coming up to them and asking them on their diagnostic skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching them and seeing how well they could provide an adjustment.
Wow.
So I do think we have a huge, a very, very high standard when it comes to education, and very high standards for passing our program. So I think we have extremely good graduates as a result.
Yeah, that's confidence. And that's only borne by the fact that your clear vision of what you expect of the college and the graduates. So well done, well done. Okay, so maybe the thing that, well, just look at the time, we're running out of time here. like I said, education obviously defines the future of any profession, whether you're a student considering chiropractic, a practitioner employing graduates, or a clinician invested in where our profession's heading. Understanding how chiropractors are trained, I think really matters based on what we've just talked about today. Today's conversation obviously highlights the intentional thinking behind the ACC, Australian Chiropractic College, from philosophy and structure to clinical immersion and professional readiness, everything that Pat has covered today. As we head in toward Concordia 2026, which, by the way, let me just say, there are still tickets, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, still tickets available to purchase for the weekend of the 28th, 29th of March. Is that correct?
27th, 28th of March.
Yeah.
27th, 28th, yep. But yes, so last year I think we're Australia's largest chiropractic event. We have a Friday night. This year,
yeah,
we're having Stephen Bradbury as our special
keynote
guest,
speaker, yes.
Yeah, he's such a great guy to have a chat to, and he has a remarkable story. And we have people coming in from all over the world and the country to present on the Saturday. Yeah. We also have a graduation on Friday morning, so it's a real celebration. It's different to DG, but similar to DG. It's a bit like the ACA conference, but not like the ACA conference. Yeah. It sort of sits in this place in the middle, but it's very much about our community. Everyone benefits from it, and I think all chiropractors, really, they all benefit from ACC.
No, I couldn't agree more. I've been to it, so thank you for having me over the last few years, and I love coming down to Concordia. And this year's theme, as I mentioned earlier, is you haven't come this far to only come this far. It's a reminder that obviously growth doesn't happen by accident. It happens through intentional training, rigorous standards, like Pat has said, throughout leadership. Thoughtful leadership, I should say, and conversations like the one we've had today are really important to understand that. And I think Concordia conferences are, I think they're very exciting because they create a momentum. They challenge us to think bigger, practice better, and lead more boldly, in my opinion. Based on everything you've said today, that's the graduates that we're expecting, and that's the graduates that you are producing. So, Pat, any final words?
Well, in terms of graduates, we can't have the graduates without the students. So, as I said before, we have two intakes. Whilst we start teaching this week, and what's the date today, Kim? We're the 19th of February.
Yes.
We'll accept students the next 2 weeks, but that's it. So that will be the cutoff for semester one. So if chiropractors have noticed that someone hasn't gotten to the course they wanted to or is not sure, have the people who are listening to this talked about how great a career is in chiropractic.
Yeah.
And if they have, then perhaps that person may want to consider ACC.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I want to thank you personally because I have two of my lovely CAs who, one of which I've looked after since she was baby. She was, actually, no, I looked after her when her mum was pregnant to her. So I looked after the mum. She was pregnant to Clara. Clara was born and has been having chiropractic care since the day she was born. And then when she finished high school, she said she wanted to become a chiropractor. And it was a no-brainer. She was heading down to ACC. And she's loved the program. I can honestly say she speaks so highly of it. She's very proud of the program. That's the one thing I really found very enlightening was the each graduate that I've spoken to are very proud of where they've come from. And you can tell that they speak very highly. They overindulge about the quality of the education they've had. So I'm excited for her to become a chiropractor. And last year, our second CA, who was a young girl who lives in the local area, became a CA with us. And then within a space of a year said, I love this. And she's now studying in ACC. So thank you.
Well, my apologies, Kim, to be taking your wonderful CA for me. But
yeah, that's the only issue.
both of them are doing tremendously well. They really are. And the referral, it's like a practice, right?
Yeah.
Most of our people in practices come from internal referrals. The vast majority of students at ACC have come by referrals from chiropractors. Yeah. And again, I think that's because we produce the chiropractor that best fits their view of chiropractic, but we also stand for the values of those chiropractors.
Thank you. And I can't thank you enough. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of many other chiropractors who referred their CAs as well, or friends and family, kids as well. So everybody, if you found value in this discussion, like Pat said, share it with your colleague, a student, anyone interested in evolution of chiropractic education in Australia. So everyone, I really appreciate your time. Pat, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy man. So until next time, everybody, keep learning, keep asking questions like Pat was saying about being critical with your thinking. Keep building the profession thoughtfully. Thank you so much, Pat.
Thanks, Kim. It's been a great chat.